Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. My name is Angie Z and I'm a master coach. If you are keen to learn the abundance secrets of the mega successful so you can follow your dreams, you are absolutely in the right place. I am super passionate about helping entrepreneurs all around the world gain clarity and confidence to level up their mindset, health, and wealth. This podcast episode is proudly brought to you by the brand new Zillionaire Coaching Program, helping you to level up your mindset, health, and wealth, creating success in every area of your life. So, let's get to it. I have the pleasure to announce that I have the fabulous Sean Brooks, who is the international professional photographer, graphic and web designer. Sean has his own digital design agency. He helps build brands that stand the test of time and has been in the creative industry for over 15 years. A massive welcome to you, Sean.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me. So excited.
Awesome. Straight into it. So tell us a little bit about your story and how you got into digital design and creating your own agency.
Well, I mean, my story is pretty deep and it's a lot of variables in it, but I kind of give you a basic. I always tell people I started off with graphic design. I learned about it in fifth grade.
Wow.
And you said that's a long time ago.
Well, yeah. How did I learn about it?
I grew up poor, and the story starts with, you know, both of my parents were murdered when I was a kid, and I grew up poor. We didn't have a lot, so I used to go to school, and I never had anything name brand,
yeah.
And the kids all talk about me, so I was bullied a lot in school,
right?
And we didn't have the basic essentials, so only time I got to take a shower, let's say, was in a gym class in school, once a week, but anyway, and one day coming home, I found a pair of Nikes in someone's trash can.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was my first pair of branded anything. Never had a branded shirt or anything. So when I took them out of the garbage can, they were a half size too big for me.
Right.
So I still took them and they had a hole in the bottom. So anyway, I took those Nikes, I cleaned them up, and man, I felt so good. You don't know how good I felt. So,
wow.
Because I've never had a pair before, you know, brand recognition.
Exactly.
Anyway, I wore the shoes to school the next day, and everybody was like, wow, Sean, man, those are some nice kicks. So I'm getting high fives and high fives, not knowing, you know, knowingly that there's a hole in the bottom of the shoe.
Right.
Well, I used to tuck my socks up under my, because they were too long, and I used to, I used to tuck my socks up under my shoe.
Okay.
Under my foot. So I'm wearing these shoes that are half a big, too big, and it's fifth period, and this guy comes up and he smacks me in the back of the head. So I'm chasing down the hallway. You know, I'm going to get him back. Not knowing that my sock had protruded from the bottom of the shoe. The reputation that I built early in the morning by fifth period was gone because everybody was like, how in the world is your sock at the bottom, coming out of the bottom of your shoe?
Right.
At that point, anyway, I punched the guy in the face, went to the principal's office, and there went my brand recognition.
Yep.
And I realized that from that point on, I understood what a brand was and how to build a brand. I tried to build a brand on the pretenses of getting it from someone else and not building it or waiting for the right time.
Wow.
So that's the story of how I learned about branding at an early age because I didn't have.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So how old were you then, Sean? When that happened?
I was fifth grade, so what was I?
11. 11.
Yeah, about that age, because it was fifth grade, about that time, yeah.
Yeah.
I should know that number, but no, I don't know the number, so.
So did you have siblings growing up, Sean, or?
Yes, I did have siblings, but we were scattered about because, like I said, my parents were deceased, and we were scattered about, like, it's four of us.
Okay.
And, yeah, I stayed with one of my aunts, and, you know, it was a tumultuous, rough, you know, upbringing.
exactly. Well, that's pretty full on childhood. Like, how did you manage that? Like, in terms of, you know, being going through school, being bullied, not having everything that you needed. How did you actually get through that yourself? Like, in terms of your mindset.
You know what? I always believed that there was more out there for me. And I remember going to church and I listened to a pastor, and he spoke about a scripture, was Romans 8:28, which states that all things work for the good for those who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And hearing that, I was like, I'm a good person, so there's got to be something more for me. So
yes.
I stood on that, and I believed that.
Yeah.
No matter what happened to me, I knew there was something better. So I didn't stray away from, you know, my education, even though I wasn't the smartest in school. I stayed away from things that were bad, like drugs. I never did that stuff. I never stole. I never did any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I just wanted to be the good kid because I knew there was something better.
That's beautiful. So you had a lot of faith, obviously.
Yes, a lot of fights, a lot of wins, because I had so much built up aggravation and anger because, you know, how I was treated. I would just take it on other kids if they bothered me. But otherwise, I was the nicest person you ever want to meet.
Yeah, that's what I say. You had a lot of faith and obviously belief in yourself and belief in the future becoming yours and becoming better in your own way, like going on your own journey.
Yeah, that was it. So let's say that was, you know, I'm 47 years old right now, but, you know, I went through a lot of difficulties. Like childhood, I had my first child my first son when I was 16.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I've been married. I've been incarcerated 18 months.
Wow.
That was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Tell us why.
You know, I was at a stage in my life, what was I, early 30s, and I would always say, I just want to start over again because I wasn't taught a lot as a kid, so I wanted to have an opportunity to learn. And I was like, if I could all start all over again, well, a circumstance happened where I went to a federal prison camp.
You know,
I had to do 18 months.
Right.
As a result of somebody else doing something. But when I got there, I was like, I didn't take it the wrong way. I was like, this is my opportunity, 18 months to do something. So it was funny how I said with my scripture, God put me in the right place, because I was there with people that were like a couple millionaires that were there for like tax evasion.
Okay.
And they took a look to me, you know?
So yeah.
They started teaching me basic business principles. I learned how to flip properties, you know, real estate investments.
Wow.
Learn how to shoot pool.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that I acquired in there is that I ordered, I had my wife at the time, I ordered coding books. So I learned HTML, PHP, CSS. I learned all that stuff in manuals. No computer. I would just write code while I was there.
Wow.
For 18 months.
That's crazy.
It was close to me getting out, and one of the guys that I was in with told me to write a business plan. He showed me how to do it. So I wrote the business plan, and I came out running. When I got out of prison, I ended up taking a job at a temp agency, and the temp agency learned that I had a background in banking, and, you know,
yes,
and management. So they allowed me to manage the temp agency.
Wow.
You know, fresh out. So there we. But again, if you do good, you know, he puts me in a place where, you know, I'm being blessed. So anyway, there it was. I'm managing the temp agency, taking the guys back and forth to work, and then, you know, going home to my wife and my two kids. And then my wife tells me at this time that she doesn't want to be married anymore. She doesn't want it anymore.
Okay.
She found somebody else.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, heartbroken. And at that time, I was living in St. Louis, Missouri.
Right.
And I was like, well, let me call my buddy. My best friend lived in Atlanta, and I called him crying like a baby. He's like, I got to do something. He was like, come to Atlanta. So I was like, bet. So talked to my probation officer. I had 2 years probation left, and she's like, okay, you can go, but you got to hurry up and find a job, you know, yada, yada,
yeah,
yada.
Yep.
And I drove down to Atlanta and met with him, had $120 in my pocket.
Yep.
And it's so funny that I met my wife that I'm married to today, 12 years, the day I got to Atlanta at the gas station.
Oh, my gosh.
she gives me her business card.
Yeah.
And her business card says CNA. And I was like, well, I didn't call her. I waited because I had $120. I had a place to stay, and I didn't have, you know, anything I could do to entertain her. So
yes.
I waited the next day. I told my buddy, hey, take me to the temp agency. I want to, you know, go get a job, you know, at least work temporarily.
Yep.
So the next morning he took me and I went in. I had my shirt tucked in and I had my resume. I signed up and I sat down and I just relaxed. And he looked at my resume and he's like, hey, I want to talk to you. He's like, you managed a temp agency before? I said, yeah, I did that, you know, back in St. Louis. He's like, okay, cool. So I went on a job assignment, took some guys with me, and came back in, you know, got my check. Next day, came back, and then I went to another job site, and the manager of the temp agency came out to the job site to get me, and I thought I did something wrong. And he was like, hey, you have management experience? I said, yes. He was like, I need an assistant manager for this temp agency. Would you be interested? And I was like, wow, God, is this working?
Yep.
So I took that job, and ended up managing that, and about 2.5, maybe 3 weeks later, I ended up flipping a property that I learned from inside. I made about $60,000. I made $60,000 on that first flip.
I love it.
Here I am, $60,000, a nice full-time job. You know, and I say when I got home that night, I was like, you know what? Let me call Shonda. That was my wife. That was her name. So I sent her an email. Like, you remember, you know, Shonda. And then we ended up talking. And then, you know, rest of history, 12 years later. But that gave me the entrepreneur spirit, you know, after
yes. Everything
started falling into place. So I did the real estate. And at the same time, I was doing graphics because I was a graphics person. I was always doing a logo here or something there.
Right.
Just, you know, because it was my skill, my craft.
Yep.
Then we get later on, the bubble hit, the real estate market bubble hit. And I had to leave the job because it just got too much for me. You know, the real estate was bringing in the money, so I ended up leaving the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real estate bubble came, the over here, it crashed.
Right.
And then I was like, wow, what am I going to do? So I invested in a car dealership.
Oh, really?
Yes, I invested into a car dealership, and I started with that. And then,
which one?
We actually started our own. We called it DSL Auto Services.
I love your work.
It was three partners. What was it? Daryl, Sean, and Lamont, DSL.
Cool. So,
we did that for some years, and it was going good, but I was the finance manager, and pretty much in my office, I was financing cars, but I was doing graphics for clients.
Right.
So I was pretty it was going good. And then I found out that one of my partners was doing some illegal stuff, and I vowed not to go to jail over someone else's, you know, differences with the law. So I ended up just walking away from it. And then I told myself, you know what, I'm just going to focus on the graphics full time.
Right. Okay.
At that time, what is it? I picked up a camera and I started dueling with the camera. I shot my friend's wedding, just playing around, and everybody's like, man, you have an eye. Next thing I know, I'm picking up clients for photography, I'm doing graphic design, I'm building printing, you know, I'm building websites, and things are streamlining. It's like, wow,
yes.
this is it, you know? So I just built a business of it, and I started acquiring clients, and then I ended up taking on another partner, and things didn't work out, I realized, with the partnership.
Right.
Because all the clients, you know, he was great. He was a great guy. He's one of my best friends to this day. But it just didn't work out with the partnership. So
okay.
We did different ways. A lot of clients only wanted to work with me, and it was a disadvantage. You know,
okay.
I was like, out of work. You know,
yes.
You know, at a young age, you don't know how to designate or yada, yada, yada. But
yeah, exactly.
The split came, and I started doing well in the photography, started doing all of the award shows and events for clients, and then it just took off.
Wow.
I got a call, and I had a publicist. She was like, hey, you should move to Miami. And I was like, Miami? Went home, and before I could get the words out of my mouth, my wife was packed ready to go.
Oh, God.
So, it was like the Miami life. So now I'm here in Miami just living my best life, you know, trying to every day just pushing harder, pushing the envelope, trying to be the best branding person that I could be. And it wasn't until September of 2018 that I realized what the passion was for me. I love photography and I would do it every day of my life.
Yes.
But my passion is to develop businesses, help businesses develop by teaching them the fundamentals of creating their own brand.
Wow, that's amazing. What a story. You're definitely you were born to be an entrepreneur, right? If you look at the series of events that have occurred in your life, how you just go from one to next to next to next, like, it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I have a big head and I laugh about it, but I don't have a big head. You know, I'm saying literally, you know, I've got a
yes.
head that wobbles when I walk. But anyway, I don't have a big head. I'm just as humble as I can be because I love where I'm at in life. You know, I love what every path that he laid in front of me was a stepping stone of where I am today. And I am so proud of it.
Well, you must be very, very strong and very resilient, I will say, and particularly because it's very clear that, you know, as you're talking about your story, that you also stayed very true to you as a person and your values were very important to you.
Yes, and I think that I just always wanted people to see me in a good light, you
yes.
know, because I've seen people grow up and had good families and they mess it up, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, how did you do that, you know? I didn't have that opportunity, you know, but I just wanted to be a good person. I wanted to be the best that I could be. So right now, 47 to be 48 next month, you know, I got five kids, six grandkids.
Wow.
You know, enjoying it
Amazing.
One day at a time.
That's super cool. So, you know, given all of your experiences and the amazing journey you've been on, would you say that forgiveness and compassion has been a big part, particularly given, you know, you've gone your separate ways in multiple partnerships, walked away from things, you know, that you were building and, you know, going to jail, meeting the millionaires? I mean, what was the essential part of getting through all that, would you say?
I think it's forgiveness and understanding where you're at in life and understanding that everything comes full circle.
Okay.
My best friend, let's say my business partner, even the guy that the situation when I got incarcerated, even him, he became a good friend.
Yes.
I had to learn to, if you give love to people, you get more out of life.
Mm.
If you hold resentment, it's like you're trapped in a treasure chest and you can't get out. You can't enjoy the treasure trapped in the chest.
Yes.
But
yeah.
if you give people and you're allowed to that chest to open, you can enjoy all the fruits of the abundance that comes in that chest. And that's from other people. So, I mean, I realized that every friendship that I had, everything that happened to me, everybody that treated me bad came full circle. And now they're good friends or good partners or good clients.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible, Sean. Incredible. So tell us, what would you say to the entrepreneurs out there, whether they're starting their journey or they're building a brand, you know, and they're really successful? What are the keys, would you say, in terms of having a successful mindset as an entrepreneur?
Stay consistent. Be kind. My key word that I've used, I mean, I've talked a lot in other podcasts, but I would say my key right now is to learn it while you earn it.
Mm.
And that is my quote. Don't fake it till you make it.
Yep.
Learn it while you earn it.
Yeah.
You'll go so far. Because if you fake it till you make it, you'll be revealed. And a lot of entrepreneurs start out that way. You know, they want to start off on the top and you can't. It's almost difficult unless you hit the lottery or something of that sort. It doesn't really happen overnight for entrepreneurs like that. It's hard work.
Yeah, exactly.
We work 120-hour weeks.
Yeah.
If there's such a thing, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to put in the work. So at the same time, learn it until you earn it. You have to do that.
Yeah.
That was my advice.
You know, for you, what would you say is the most rewarding thing in terms of successful outcomes for your clients? Like, what's the biggest reward for you from that?
Just seeing my clients succeed and seeing that I had a part to do with it, you know, from where I came from and my little bit of knowledge and understanding of, let's say, my craft and how to develop a business, just to see a business expand and grow is a love. I love it. I always talk about one client. Well, a client that I have is two ladies. The company is called Hair Us. I'll throw it out there.
Yeah.
They came to me. I remember they came to me and they wanted me to build them a website. And what, 7, 8 years ago?
Okay.
I think they had about $2,000. I think I built the website for about $1,200.
Yeah.
And that first year they made like $80,000. Now we're talking today. They I think they made about $12 million online.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they have a store in Atlanta, a store in Miami, and a store in LA, and they're thriving. Two young female thriving entrepreneurs, and I'm proud to be a part of their success.
You know, 100%.
They allow me to come in and build their web infrastructure. They allow me to design their framework for their design, and it's just to be a part of that is wonderful that they trust in me so much, and I really appreciate it.
So what was their business, Sean?
It's a company called Hair R Us.
Yep.
Two ladies, Ashley and Kat. Funny, they were featured on the show The Prophet. I don't know if you've ever seen that with Marcus Lemonis.
No, I haven't.
He's the billionaire that goes out and he looks at companies and he gives them either he invests in a company or he gives them advice on how to grow if they're already successful.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of really big over here in the States. It's called The Prophet.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Awesome.
Yeah, so but yes, I'm excited. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I was going to ask you, what motivates you or inspires you on a daily basis? Who or what inspires you to jump out of bed every day and do what you do?
I would say my grandbabies, but then again, I have to put it all on myself because I want more out of life. I want to live the best life that I can live. I really understand that at 47, let's say 47 years old, because I'll be 48 next month, that the average lifespan is about 90, let's say 95. So I realize that people say they want to start over again, or they can't wait to be 21. I'm 21 now. So yeah. I got at least 40 more years on this planet. So what can I do better? So that's why I started eating right. I go to the gym. I work out. I make sure the vessel that was supplied to me is in the best condition so that I can go as far as it will take me.
Yeah, amazing.
So I think that's my motivating factor. I could say my wife and kids, you know, that's the norm, but it's my mindset and where I know that I want to go and what it's going to take for me to get there.
Yes. And such an important part as well is looking after yourself, right? You can't fill someone else's cup if you're empty.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. There is more to life than you think. Let me show you the possibilities. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. And for further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com. Catch you next time. Thank you.